now that I've won your respect over with my new hairstyle. This week we are focusing on the rest of Jonah chapter 1, where the sailors find Jonah asleep. We heard that in the piece we just performed. And they figure out why God is mad at Jonah, and so they throw him overboard, and then Jonah finds himself a somewhat fishy ride. And this part of the story of Jonah reminds me of when I was in seminary. I was living in some seminary-owned apartments, and these apartments were not so affectionately known as the leper colony, because they weren't with the other housing. They were off on their own. They were in pretty rough shape. And it had one other important geographic feature. Let's say that this is point A, and point A is where some of the sketchy people live in that particular part of Austin. And let's say this is point B, and this is the park where such a person might be able to purchase drugs. And if you drew a line from point A to point B, it would go right through the parking lot of my apartment complex. And that's an important feature, but it somehow did not make it into the housing brochure of the seminary. So the first month I was in seminary, my car was broken into for about a dollar and change. And they also looked through my CDs as well, but the rockin' Christian tunes didn't make it on their theft list for some reason. A few months later, though, I was in my bed, and I didn't have early classes that day, so I slept in. And since I'm a cheapskate, I had my window open rather than running the AC, which is important because while I was still, you know, a little asleep, I heard a voice so loud it could have been in my room saying, "Hey." I was a little startled, but I resolved to go back to sleep. Then I heard the same female voice scream, "That's my car." My eyes opened, but I still didn't move. And then it started to dawn on me very slowly that I recognized the voice was one of my fellow seminary students. And then I remembered that whole path from A to B thing. And I remembered that my car had been broken into. And so my groggy eyes shot open. I leaped out of bed, ran down to the parking lot, and found a man in my colleague's car robbing it. Now, he claimed in his defense that this was actually his car, but for some reason we weren't buying it. Now, after I arrived as backup, he got up and kind of sauntered off very slowly, and that's when I realized I was, you know, in this parking lot public area with no shirt, no shoes, but luckily I did have my shorts on. Now, what does this have to do with Jonah? Well, that first "hey" woke me up, but I had two initial ideas when that at first happened. Number one was to go back to sleep. Number two was to get up, close the window to keep out the noise, and then go back to sleep. It took the second shout, and even then, still a little processing for me to realize that someone might be in trouble and need help. I was asleep while someone else needed help. I was dead to the world in need. And that is the exact phrase used to describe Jonah sleeping in the middle of this great and terrible storm that threatened the ship. Because the phrase used to talk about him being asleep is like he was a dead man. He was out cold, dead to the world, even though his immediate world was very much in need. Have you ever wanted to look the other way? Have you ever wanted to ignore or explain away someone else's problems? Ever wanted to close the window to keep out the noise and go back to sleep? I meet monthly with a group of pastors, and we pray for each other personally and also pray for this city. And this past week, we were asked to pray for what are some of the common trends we're noticing right now, some of the common themes. Three of the biggest ones that this group of pastors noticed, one was hunger, another was housing, another was busyness. Hunger, there are people in our city who don't know where their next meal will come from. Housing, it's nice if you own your home that your property value just keeps skyrocketing, but what about the person whose rent keeps skyrocketing too, who can't afford another increase? What about refugees who are being resettled here and they can't find housing for them? And busyness. Saying I'm so busy, it can seem like a badge of honor sometimes, right? I must be important because I'm so busy. But what about when we're too busy doing our own thing to actually get to know people. The good news of Jesus Christ can't be shared if we're too busy to develop new relationships. When was the last time you met someone new for coffee or lunch or had a new couple over for dinner? Too busy? Are we dead to the world's problems? Are we asleep while the sailors all around us fight against a raging storm? Now, the next part of Jonah's story is interesting. The sailors cast lots, which is kind of like throwing dice, and Jonah's number comes up first. Now, what they're doing here is the sailors, they all would have had their own local gods, and the general thought was that this kind of storm must have been supernatural. Someone on the ship must have angered one of their local gods. So what they're doing is randomly selecting someone to go first and share with everyone what they might have done to offend their own god and why this might be their fault. This is like standing in a circle of people you don't know, and they randomly select one person to tell their deepest, darkest sin to the entire group. Unsurprisingly, no one is volunteering to go first for that. Now then Jonah tells them that he has offended the Lord, the God of Israel. But the text says something very interesting. It says he had already told them that beforehand. Before the storm, he had already told them he was fleeing from God. And that's fascinating because it means they didn't care the first time they heard it. It was only when a storm raged around them, when it affected them personally, that they suddenly cared about Jonah's story and how human is that. Now, coming from Texas, I was surrounded most of my life by people deeply affected by immigration policies. I was aware of the fact that there were issues, but then one of my coworkers was having trouble renewing his visa. He was about to be deported back to China, while his wife and daughter who was born here, were going to stay behind. He was going to be separated from his family and sent back for a while. Suddenly, immigration policy became more real to me because it affected someone I knew. Then later on, I became friends with a guy from Canada who had come here legally but stayed way beyond his legal allotment. And as I got to know him, he could only work under the table, paid in cash, and the people who employed him illegally knew that he couldn't switch jobs easily, so many times he was taken advantage of. If he was hurt, he had to just come in and work anyway. There was no workers' comp, no insurance. Eventually, an injury led to his deportation. Immigration policy is really complicated. I knew that it affected real people in surprising ways. I knew it up here, but I didn't feel it. I didn't care until it affected my friends. Kind of like the sailors on Jonah's ship. Have you ever ignored a problem or an issue until it affected you personally? But here's the thing. God takes it all personally. He cares. He cared enough to reach those sailors, to bring them to faith, even through Jonah's disobedience. He cares. But he also wants us to care. And he wants us to do something about it. Jesus said in John chapter 14, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask anything in my name, I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Jesus says we will do greater things than he did. That's the expectation. So sisters and brothers, let's wake up. Let's not be dead to the world as Jonah was, as I was trying to go back to sleep in my seminary apartment. Let's not ignore problems in our community until they just affect us personally. Let's care. That's actually one of the major goals we have for our church this year, is to get more hands-on serving in our community, to show our community that we care. Now, we've already done that this year. A couple things we can celebrate that we have done. As we've shared in other formats, and many churches got together, that same pastor's group, were in conversation with the city, and how could we make a difference in our city, we asked. And the response came back, work with the schools, get bicycles for fifth graders in some of the less advantaged schools. And so, since we already tutor students from Field Elementary, that's one of those schools that's troubled, we agreed to donate about half of the bikes needed for all the fifth graders at Field Elementary. Other churches covered the rest of Field, covered East, covered Centennial Elementary schools. And about a month ago, they actually got their bikes. And I was there, got to see the joy on their faces. They got a bike fitted for them. They got a helmet. They even got a lock, which could be needed so it doesn't walk away. And then they also got this big party thrown for them by all of the churches. A few of our people from our church were there helping throw that party. I talked to one of the families. They had no car, and they lived several miles away from where the bikes were being given out, but they walked as a family several miles to go get this bike, and then had to walk the bike back because they didn't have a ride back home. But that's how important, how excited their daughter was to get this bike. I talked to the principal of Field Elementary. She said that the bikes made a huge difference in the school because the students had to improve grades. They had to show respect to their teachers to earn the bike. And over 90% of the kids from Field were able to do that. So we were able to work with other churches to help kids who needed help. Fantastic. We helped the schools. Fantastic. And we got to show the families that their community cares about them and their kids. If it hadn't been so stinking cold that day, it would have been perfect. Now, one thing, that's one thing we did. Another thing we're going to do this Tuesday is to help the hungry and lonely in our community at the free community meal. As we mentioned last week, our church has really stepped up for this. We already have all the volunteers we need. We have the funds we need. We have the supplies we need. We have, you know, the recipes ready. We have the menu. We have the plan. Now all we need is for the hungry and lonely to show up so that we can give them a nice sit-down meal on real plates, not disposable, because they are real people who matter to us. God cares about them, and so we care about them as well. If you want to get in on the fun next time, talk to Linda Kaiser. The next one's going to be September 13th. So that's one thing we've done, one thing we're about to do. Another thing for this summer to know is that two Sundays from now, we're going to have an intern starting with us, Joshua Seideman. And he's coming primarily to help us expand those relationships with local mission partners, help us get more and more of our church hands-on involved in our community. And we don't know exactly what's going to come of it. Maybe it'll be more opportunities for individuals or Bible studies or groups to work together, to volunteer. Maybe it's putting together a serve day where we try to get as many people from our church serving our community on the same day. Maybe we'll have a new long-term partner we work with for years. We'll see. But as you get to know him, know that his main role is to help you make a difference in our community. We want our community to know that we are awake. We want our community to know that we care. We want our community to know that God cares and that we're willing to do something about it. So, sisters and brothers, what do you care about? What problem do you feel personally? Where are your eyes open and your heart stirred? Jonah first ran away from what God cared about. Then he tried to sleep through the problem. Then he waited until a dice roll made him do something about it. To get back on track, he had to ride in the belly of a fish for 3 days. That's not on my to-do list, personally. So maybe we can do better than Jonah did at first. Let's wake up. Let's not be dead to the world. Let's not ignore problems until they just affect us personally. Let's care. And may we step forward to do something rather than waiting for the dice roll to make us do it. Where does God want you to wake up? Where does God want you to step forward? And how can we do that together? Amen.